This morning, if you haven't already, I'd love for us to look at an account of Jesus' birth from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, if you don't have a Bible, it's on your phone maybe, or there's one in front in the pew. I'd love for you to turn there as we read this short section of Matthew 2 and the visit of the wise men. And for some reason, the Lord has just really put on my heart this great act of the wise men to come and worship this child. And the title this morning is "We Have Come to Worship." And that's the question I want to ask you this morning, as it's almost Christmas and you might have come this morning with family and friends. The real question to ask is, have you come to worship? Have you come this morning to worship? Well, what's that even mean? Well, we're going to see through these wise men that it looks a lot like what they did. It means, first off, that we get on our knees and we realize that we are not king and lord of our lives, but there is someone else who we should be bowing the knee to. Have you come this morning to worship? Because the question is, we could ask a lot of other things, or we could fill in the blank this morning. I have come this morning because ... And it's a question for my own heart. I have come this morning, why? Have I come because Jesus Christ is worthy this morning, December 23rd, to be exalted and worshiped and his name to be lifted up? He is worthy to bow the knee to. He is worthy to give our treasures over to him and to see him as the ultimate treasure. So this morning, have you come to worship? We're going to look at five different individuals in this account and whether they came as well to worship or not. And I think by looking at these five groups of people, these individuals even, I pray the Lord might impress in your heart, where are you in this story? Which one, which individual, what kind of worship is in your heart this morning? Let's look at Matthew 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 12. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, because there was also another Bethlehem in the north in Galilee, there was this one in Judea close to Jerusalem. In the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Your translation might say where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet," and that is the prophet Micah in the Old Testament, "O you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. What a beautiful little story of great impact. The visit of the wise men. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before to lift his word up. God, this is your word. I pray this morning that you would use your spirit to humbly make my words be the words that you would want me to say, to highlight the glories of your scripture, to highlight the beauty of your story, to glorify your Son, Jesus Christ, and all that he is for us. Thank you that as these wise men came and worshiped, we this morning have the opportunity to worship you as well. Amidst the shopping or the lists that we're not done with, or wondering if we got the right gift, Lord, all of that pales in comparison to the great gift that you have given us, your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. We have come to worship. That is what they tell King Herod, the wise men from the east. Directly east of Jerusalem would be the area of Arabia. And they think that it would have taken at least 3 weeks, if not more, to make a long journey. And I don't want to disappoint you with the song, We Three Kings, but they also believe that it probably was more than just three. Usually they would have traveled in caravans, in large numbers for the safety of all involved. They might have brought their servants with them, those who would keep them fed and comfortable along this journey. Many camels to keep them moving, drinking. But we see all the time the picture esque look of the three camels and the three kings on top. They weren't even kings. They were magi, a word used for educated stargazers, philosophers, possibly magicians, although that wasn't as common in this day. They were scientists, stargazers, rich, wealthy. They had an education. And here these three wise men, the first of who we're going to study right now this morning, they said, "We have come to find the king who is born king of the Jews." These men weren't even Jewish. They were Gentiles looking for this promise prophesied Messiah. And yet even these magi understood that the prophets of old, who would have been spread out all over, there would have been prophets in the East. We have heard of Daniel. We're reading through Esther. God's people throughout all of this land, they would have heard through these prophets that there is a Savior to come. Even as Micah himself says, in this little inconspicuous town called Bethlehem, a ruler would be risen, and he would shepherd his people. The wise men come to worship. They come looking for the king of the Jews as Gentiles. And yet they understood God's message was for all nations, as the prophets were clear about. It wasn't just for God's people. It was for all people. What about you? Put yourself in their shoes. You study the stars, and you see a new one in the sky, a sign. And there's so many details in this story that we don't have information on. But out of that revelation, you take a 3 or 4 or 5 week journey across harsh deserts to come looking for this Bethlehem and this child, the King of the Jews. I took a 10-day vacation with my family with 2 little kids. And I know Elizabeth was, but Mom and Dad didn't confess, but we were probably all saying, when are we going to get home? As we finished that road journey, home is getting close. We're excited to be finished. And that was just 10 days. Here was these men willing to go weeks in travel to find and worship a baby, a child, the Savior, this Messiah. But you know what? What I've learned from the wise men is this extraordinary devotion and willingness to travel across showed me that these magi, these stargazers, these astronomers, educated, rich, wealthy, beyond, they even had a love, a deep love for Jesus. They were willing to come that far. What did they bring, as we will see? Their greatest treasures. And as I shared before, they didn't come and give these treasures to try to placate God and say, look, and I'm giving you my best. You have to love me. They were showing this child that he is worth more than these treasures. That they lay these treasures before him. Costly perfumes and fragrances, gold, frankincense, myrrh. And they say, you are worth these gifts. That's a great question for us. The wise men make us ask, would we give all of our gifts and our stuff and our homes and our lives and be willing to say, he is worth it? Maybe you've had to see a loved one gone, a home gone, a prized possession gone. But can you say in your heart, I still have Jesus. I still have the greatest gift of all, like these wise men who traveled and traveled to worship King Jesus. And who do they come against? Secondly, King Herod. Half Jew. He murdered his own family members during his reign. He was violent, oppressive, feared by all the people. And of course, I mean, let's just think about this. Where would the wise men go to find a king? They wouldn't go into the village, into a little house, into a stable where the animals were to find baby Jesus. They went to the palace. They went where kings live. And they run into a king, but a king very much unlike King Jesus. Herod the Great. It says he was troubled and all of Jerusalem with him. What a phrase. What does that even mean? that the whole city would become troubled as he starts to spread this king, what about this king? I got to find this king. There's only one king, and it's me. And interestingly enough, Herod was called because he was over the region of Judea, the king of the Jews. And here come the wise men saying, where is this new baby born? His title is king of the Jews. What are you talking about? Says Herod. He assembles the chief priests and scribes. And then he secretly assembles the wise men with this plot and scheme. Tell me where he's going to live. Come back and report to me what you find. And he says, I too want to worship this king. And if you don't know the history of Herod the Great and the story that just follows this, he didn't want to come and worship. He wasn't going to come and bow the knee before this baby child Jesus. He actually puts in plan a scheme to murder every child from 2 years and under. He's figuring out the dates. When was he born? When was this happening? So he would be how old right now? And he tries to safely assume anyone two and under, I'll make sure this new king of the Jews is annihilated. He was violent. He showed hostility to this child, Jesus. And the truth is, the story of Jesus born in a manger, the story of Jesus as Savior, for some, it brings hostility. There's no God. There's no Savior. I don't need to be saved. Saved from what? What are you talking about? I don't know. Have you ever run into hostility when it comes to the story of Jesus Christ? And we are called to be gentle with all people, to not give back what is given to us, to not lash back if we have been lashed against. But here is Herod, hostile to this new child who has come. What a difference. The three wise men, we have come to worship King Herod. I want to see him dead. I'm going to put a plan in action to try to make that happen. And that is so true for us today. And I pray for none of you in this room. But there is hostility against the name of Jesus. We might be okay talking about God with many people, but there's something that changes when we bring in Jesus into the conversation. This little baby, this child, this humble Savior and King. And it might be because he's called an offense, a stumbling block. He went to a cross. I don't want to follow someone who went to a cross. He was spat upon and ridiculed and mocked. Why would I follow someone like that? Because he did it out of love. And it's amazing when you look at the love of Jesus that you would still come away hostile. But you know what? There is a ruler of this world. His name is Satan. And you would think that the love of God, he knows perfectly well, would change him. But his plan and game plan till the end of time is hostility toward anything that God wants, anything that God does. He is against Jesus Christ. And he is trying to get as many to be against the Savior as he can. So it doesn't shock us when there might be someone hostile to this story of Jesus born as a baby. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a third group within this. a third group, and it is the religious. Look at verse 5. The chief priests and scribes respond to Herod's question. Search. Find out about this baby. Inquire where he was to be born. And the priests and scribes tell him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, O you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. I don't think it took them very long. I don't think they were confused and confounded. They were the scribes and the priests, the ones who were daily practicing, writing these things out, passing on the truth of God's word, seeing the prophets that they are exclaiming to Herod, possibly even writing some of them individually these words. But what shocks me is we don't read anything more of maybe they by night went away and started their own journey to Bethlehem and got there to find this Savior. Or inquired of the wise men secretly, if you do find him, come and tell us. We've been awaiting this Messiah all our life. We've been writing about the prophets who have prophesied of Jesus to come. Tell us if you do find this baby. We just don't read of that. We don't see it in the text. We would think that it would be in here. But what it makes me think is these religious scribes and priests, the rulers of the people that they looked to, they were indifferent. Maybe they shrugged their shoulder. Maybe they laughed and thought, this trek of the wise men, what a silly thing. We don't know. But they didn't go themselves to look and to find and to worship this child, Jesus Christ. They just shrugged their shoulders. Yeah, it says that he's born in Bethlehem. Go find him. It just shocks me. And interestingly enough, that prophecy says from Bethlehem will be a ruler who will shepherd his people. And what was happening with these scribes and these priests is they were not the shepherds that God called them to be. They gained wealth. They made rules to control the people. They put on a good show and wore the right garb and said the right words. But in their hearts, they just shrugged. Yeah, Jesus, Messiah. If you find him, if it's really him, come and tell us. I'm just shocked that they didn't go, or they weren't excited, or the text doesn't say anything about these scribes and priests wanting to pursue this possible Messiah born in Bethlehem. And I pray that that's not true for any of us this morning. That we're just going to be indifferent. That we're going to leave here today and say, well, that was good. And shrug our shoulders and get on with Christmas. But that we will find that the real heart of Christmas is this child who became a man, Jesus Christ, who gave of his life for you and for me, that we would realize that we have sinned, that we are not perfect, and we need forgiveness for our sin, and we need a way out. And that way out is Jesus Christ, who died for us in our place, brought forgiveness of sin. and like the wise men, changes our hearts to want to worship. Just a few more. Do you notice that there's another participant that we might not figure out in this little account called his star? The star of Bethlehem that everyone writes about on the internet? As I was looking, what was this star? Why did it move? How could it be over the house? And I'm telling you, I don't know. I don't have the answers for how this star directed the wise men to be right over this house where the baby was born. Some say it was actually a light being, an angel, who was able to move and move to show them the way. But what's interesting is it's called his star. Jesus Christ had his own announcement, if you were to say. A star shone in the sky, told these wise men, told all of creation. This was creation saying, we want to have a part in his birth. We want to celebrate too. And a star is used to tell the whole world and all of creation, Jesus is here. And kind of like that big spotlight, if you've ever been to the theaters or to a drama where it's kind of tracing what's going on stage. I wonder, was this the spotlight that said, here he is, the Savior born, King of the Jews? The wise men saw this star from the east, and they came to worship. All of creation was worshiping. This star got to be part of the story. And maybe for you, your worship is quiet, behind the scenes. Just one piece, just like all the rest of us, in this great story that God is putting together. And yet for this moment, this star was center stage. It was the attraction. It was what brought the wise men to worship. May we be willing to see our place in God's story and to be okay with where we're at, to be okay with the gifts he's given us, to be okay with our talents and our work and our labor and our position and our location. For we don't know, just like we've been looking at Esther, when God might say, for such a time as this, I am rising you up to be an influence, maybe to change someone else's life. Who knows? Who also is part of this is the mother, of course. But look, there's not much. And going, verse 11, into the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they fell down and worshiped him. Mary the mother, she is not the one who's worshiped. She is the one who also is a worshiper. In the book of Luke, in chapter 1, there's this beautiful song of Mary that she exclaims to her God when she finds out that I am going to bear the Savior of the world. She too is not to be worshipped, but she worships this child. She sings to the God who's going to bring a Savior. If you don't know the story, though, as Jesus grows up, his brothers and sisters and his mother, they're continually telling him, Jesus, your ministry, what are you doing? Your message and your ministry, you're showing embarrassment to us as your family. And so it seems like this family did not quite understand what his role would be and how they were to worship him, the one who would go to a cross. But one that we do find at the cross with Jesus is his mom. Do you remember when Jesus is dying, he says, John, take care of my mom. John, make sure she is loved. I cannot do that for her anymore. And it is believed that his mom knew him as Jesus the Savior. But how flip-flop from our culture now, where she, in many ways, can be put above the name of Jesus. But we see here the mother witnessing all of this, and it even says in Luke that she pondered all these things in her heart, mulling them over and over again. The wise men have visited, the shepherds have just shown up. They're not here for me, they're here for this two-year-old, this one-and-a-half-year-old, somewhere in that age, and they're bowing down to him. And they brought treasures for my son. She also gets to witness her own son being worshipped. It's just a great reminder that it is not about us. It is about this child, this king, this Savior of the world. So, who might you be? The wise men brought their treasures, and they traveled weeks to worship this true Savior of the world. King Herod tried whatever he could to end and kill this Savior. He was troubled and violent and hostile. The religious, the ones who had done all the practices, even wrote out scripture, making sure that we would have it today in our own hands. But some of them did not see a Messiah prophesied coming. They were indifferent and they shrugged their shoulders. Would you be like the star and like all of creation? And I love where it says in verse 10 that when they saw this star, the wise men rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. If you break that out, there are four joys there. They rejoiced exceedingly. Usually in the original, it would say they rejoiced with much joy, with mega joy. With joy, 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 as those songs say. Maybe the wise men were the first to sing that song. The star brought them joy. It led them to this house. They find where Jesus is, and they rejoice with exceeding and great joy. Or maybe for this year, you might be Mary, who gets to watch others worship the Savior, who is pondering all of these things, who maybe is quieter this year and thinking about the Savior and what he means and how he impacts my life and your life. But it's not this 3-week or 4-week journey for you, but it's this quiet pondering and meditating and thinking about the Savior like Mary, his own mother. I would pray that as we asked in the beginning, have you come to worship this morning? That if there was something else on your mind, that you would at least leave this morning saying, I want to worship this King, this Jesus, and on Tuesday. I want it to be about him first and not about the gifts and the stuff. And I want it to be about people first and our families first and not about the stuff. And like the wise men teach us, that we would lay our treasures at his feet and say, he is worth more than all those things. That I'm willing to give this up because he is far better. That this is temporary, but he is eternal. And he will not fade away. And there are no batteries included because he doesn't need any. And he is the one you can put your hope and trust in. And he will never fail you. I go through that all the time. Honey, do we have the AAA batteries? Do we have more AA batteries? This toy is now stopped. He is not like that. He is forever and ever. I pray this Christmas that you have put your trust and hope in him. First and foremost, let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you are the treasure of all treasures. I pray that we have come this morning to worship. And Lord, that that would carry on through tomorrow and through Christmas, but even through the rest of our lives. And maybe there is someone this morning, they have heard of God, they have heard of Jesus and the story. They have celebrated Christmas year after year. But the question is, do they worship? Do they bow the knee? Do they say, Jesus is my King and my God? Lord, if there is someone in this room who has been struggling with that message, who's been trying to work hard and make it on their own and do the best that they can for God, that they would stop the striving and the struggling and the working, and they would put their lives and bank their lives on the grace of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us on the cross, not what we have done for him. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. He has done it all. He has worked the work for us by dying on the cross, taking care of our sin. And he extends his hand and says, here is a free gift. Lord, may we worship this morning and receive the gift that he offers to us as we give him our gifts. And we thank you for this story of the wise men, as they teach us how to worship the Savior. Jesus, you are worthy of our praise. May we close and sing now in your precious name. Amen.